Hello and welcome to this week's Otscast Extra. I'm here with Alfie Moore, ex-policeman and now comedian. Hi, Alfie.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, yeah, it's a strange story, isn't it?
It is.
I'm still technically a police officer on a sabbatical from the force, and I've got about 10 months to make my mind up whether I'm going to go back in or stay in comedy. I've had nearly 5 years off. In 10 months' time, it'll be 5 years career break from the police, in which time I've been doing sort of stand-up things.
What made you decide to go from policing to comedy in the first place?
It's simple, really. My wife took me to a local comedy club. I've never been to a comedy club ever before, and I sort of liked it and thought I'd give it a go. So I sort of entered a national stand-up competition, really just a bit of a dare, really. Did quite well in it and got bitten by the bug.
What's the reaction been like from people from your force?
They've been very good, actually. I think I'll always get cops in the shows. I go on tour and do shows, and at the Edinburgh Festival, there'll always be some police officers. They won't tend to admit to being police officers. On the way out, when I'm shaking hands, they'll whisper, I'm a cop. But they've been good. And the bosses have been surprisingly good, because I don't sort of tend to pull any punches. I'm not particularly a corporate guy who just spouts policy. Sort of, I take the mickey out of the organisation quite a lot. So I didn't know how they would respond, but the bosses have been very supportive, actually. I had a Radio 4 show air recently, and some senior officers like chief constables and people contacted me and said, you know, we really like what you're doing, which is nice.
Yeah, that's really encouraging.
It is, when the job sort of backs you up. I think what they realise is that, you know, the police have been in the news for a lot of the wrong reasons recently. And I think people like to see open and honest, and you know, they like that. And they like the transparency. So I think that's why the bosses like it.
And you use quite a lot of your experience as a police officer in your show.
Yes. I never, when I started doing stand-up, I never mentioned being a cop, but audiences soon indicated, when I first started dripping police stories in, that that's what they wanted to hear, that people find, we've only got to switch the TV on every night and these cop programs and copumentaries on, and people just find it quite intriguing and they really like the true inside stories. So that's what I tend to do.
Are there any similarities between being a police officer and being a comedian?
Yeah, do you know, there's a lot of similarities that aren't obviously apparent. I think being a cop, you dash into a lot of tense situations and you end up, you know, running into rooms full of strangers and you have to make a connection very quickly. And being a comedian is no different. You know, you walk on stage and there's an audience of strangers, and if you want to have a successful gig, you need to make a connection with that audience very quickly. And so it's quite similar. Not quite as dangerous. You can't wear your stab vest on stage, but it can be. Some of the clubs you play, the weekend inner city clubs with drunken stags and hens, can be quite interesting sometimes. It's not far off the same job.
It must help with the hecklers.
Yeah, it does. I think you've got an air about you if you've done a job like being a cop, that, you know, you can stand up for yourself.
So your UK tour, The Naked Stun, what's that based on?
The Naked Stun is based on a true story. Once again, it's about my dogged determination to track down a serial flasher who committed a number of offences in Scunthorpe. And over some months, I investigated these offences and tried to track him down. That's what the story's about. If we're being serious for a moment, it's a very unreported offence and people should report that sort of stuff. But a lot of people are too embarrassed or just laugh it off and they don't report. So it's a very unreported offence.
That's really interesting.
It's really, because a lot of these offenders go on to commit more serious stuff, you know. So I guess we've all got a responsibility, the police included, as well as the public, to sort of take it a bit more seriously and report this stuff. When I sort of did the show at Edinburgh, loads of people sort of approached me afterwards and said, oh, you know, I've seen a flasher and that happened to me when I was younger. And I'd say, well, you know, did you report it? And loads of them said, oh, no, I never bothered. You know, so I think there's a lot of it that goes unreported.
Well, hopefully your show will encourage more people to report flashes.
Yeah, that's a serious side, but it is a comedy. I ought to hasten to add, it's got a bit serious, hasn't it? But that it is a comedy, and it's a very funny story.
Well, I'm sure our listeners are looking forward to coming to see you. Are you excited about touring the country?
Yeah, do you know, I do like touring. I mean, it's hard work. It's do a show and stop in a hotel, get up the next morning, and you've normally got a 5 or 6 hour drive. That's normally how tours work out. So it's quite a tiring experience, but I do like seeing different places and playing to different audiences, and that's fun and exciting.
Have you been to Oxford before?
I've never performed in Oxford before, but I've been to the city. I think it's a beauty. I love places like Oxford because they've got the history. So I love places like Oxford and York and Harrogate and places like this, Bath and Bristol, that have just got so many nice buildings and so much history connected to them.
Do you find audiences from different regions react to different material in different ways?
They do, yeah. It's difficult to, it's difficult to put your finger on, and you never really know what you're going to get with an audience. The dynamic is always different. But yeah, I think that there is a bit of that going on, that people laugh in different places depending on where you are. Just like, you know, sometimes I'll play gigs in front of a police audience and they'll laugh in different places to a civilian audience. It's not easy to predict, and I guess the skill of being a comedian is to try and read the room and to make, even though you're doing a show that you've done many times before, you know, there's flexibility within that, and you play in the moment and adjust your material to suit that room. So you're always gauging, and you've got a subconscious little voice saying, do a bit more of that, or do a bit more of this.
What's your perception of the Oxford audience?
Do you know, it's stereotypes, but I would think the Oxford audience, it's a nice place, Oxford. I would expect them to be a Radio 4 type audience, which means that they'll probably be, you know, a bright audience that like to be informed. One thing about a Radio 4 show is people learned a lot, as well as it being funny. And I've got them sort of penciled in as the type of audience who'd be interested in knowing procedural stuff as well, and learning stuff as well as having a laugh.
I think that sounds about right, to be honest.
Yeah, which are my sort of crowd, and it's really nice to play to a bright, intelligent crowd as well. You should never disrespect your audiences, but like I say, if you play in comedy clubs and you get drunken people in front of you, they want quicker, faster, simpler gags. But I guess at Oxford they'd want it a bit more meaty.
Do you think that you're helping to break down the stereotypical perception of the police force?
Do you know, I do in my own way. I'd like to think I do. I mean, it's quite ironic, this, that when I was a cop, I was a sergeant. And yes, I got some influence, but only a very small amount of influence. I got a team of people working for me, and I dealt with the public, of course. So I could influence how people's perception of the police was. Since I've been out of the job, a lot more people listen to me now. I play in front of sometimes, you know, I mean, the radio show gets a silly amount of it. The radio show gets 1.5 million listeners every week.
Wow.
So you suddenly realise you're actually in this really quite powerful position. Where, if you're like me, you're very self-opinionated. I've got views about politics and procedures and changes in the law and police budgets. And actually, yeah, I feel like I'm in quite a privileged position where people listen to my opinion, and hopefully I can be quite influential and help people appreciate how difficulty in being a cop, really. Cops have to make, and this came across very much in the radio show, where I set up a real case scenario and asked them what they would have done. And people really don't know. It's very difficult when you've got a certain amount, everybody slags the police off afterwards, but when you've got a certain amount of information and you have to make an instant decision, that's really very difficult. Sometimes there's no right answer, and I think it's good that people appreciate that.
Are you continuing to do the radio series with Radio 4?
The procedure is at the end of every series, you've got to go back to the commissioning panel.
Yeah.
And loads of people pitch stuff, and so they will look at what's on offer, and they will make a decision as to whether to recommission a new show or not. But I've had two series now, which is very good for Radio 4, really, because the 6:30 slot on Radio 4 is a comedy slot that all comedians are queuing up for, really. So I feel blessed I've had two series. And hopefully, you know, it got great feedback, so hopefully we'll get a third series, and then I'll nearly be a Radio 4 regular. It's Parsons and David Mitchell.
That'd be excellent. Would you like to go do another series then?
Oh, I love it. I really, really enjoy it. I love working with a live audience and the interaction. I mean, I obviously have had to do a lot of writing this year because I've written a new Edinburgh show and written six series on Radio 4. And I sort of write that stuff on my own. So that's a really intensive workload. And you end up writing a lot of jokes. But the funniest stuff really comes from that live audience, that in-the-moment interaction with the audience. That's where the real funny happens. And that's the beauty of live comedy, really. You know, you can watch a telly or you can stick a DVD on. That's great. But when you're actually in that room as part of a live audience and something happens in the moment and the comedian is responding to that audience, then you can't really replicate that. And that's a fabulous thing about live comedy.
So you say you love doing live comedy. Do you think that'll make your decision even more difficult? Like you say, you've only got 10 months to decide.
I've only got 10 months and it will cost me a lot of pension not to go back in the police, but I love it. Do you know, I think that comedians, by the very nature of the job, tend to be adrenaline junkies, and a lot of cops are the same. So I'm getting that side of my personality fed. So I do miss the camaraderie in the police and, you know, I miss the excitement of, you know, rushing about, putting doors in and all that sort of thing. Rolling about the gutter and getting punched is loads of fun. But I do miss that. But it is replaced in some way. It is a bigger adrenaline rush to go on stage.
Who inspires you as a comedian?
I do like David Mitchell. I'm a big fan of David Mitchell. Although he wouldn't even consider himself a comedian. He's a lovely bloke, David Mitchell. If you speak to him, he don't consider himself a stand-up comedian. And I consider him one of the best stand-up comedians in the country. Lee Mack, I like Lee Mack a lot. I think that the show those two do together, where they're both team captains.
Oh, Would I Lie to You?
Would I Lie to You? You know, the energy between those two.
Yeah.
Those are two of my favourite sort of performers. I love to work with those guys.
Do you have anyone who inspires you as a policeman?
Yeah, lots of people really, but not sort of the big hitter chief constable types. I've got a lot of time for my own chief constable who was very honest, and when the budget cuts started to come in, he didn't sort of wrap it all up in cotton wool. He just played it straight down the middle and was very honest with the officers. So I've got a lot of respect for him, but really the officers I really respect are the ones on the streets. They're very, very brave, you know, and you sort of get used to being in dangerous scenarios, but I can look back on my career and think I've been really, really frightened a handful of times. And you look either side of you and there's just ordinary cops, some of them slightly built, you know, young ladies rushing into dangerous situations. And they're the ones I've really got respect for, the very, very brave people.
I'll give you 30 seconds to convince people to come and see your show.
Okay, people of Oxford, 30 seconds starting now. I'm very different. I'm very unusual. I'm being called unique. I've been called ever such nice things like a socio-political commentator with a gallows humour. You do develop a dark sense of humour in the police, and there is a bit of darkness. I'm not a particularly sort of rude or crude comedian, but I will give you all the juicy inside stories with a twinkle in my eye and all the exciting stuff we really get up to. And it's really, really funny.
Brilliant. I think you might have convinced them.
Good. Hope so. And I would really look forward to seeing you lovely people of Oxford.
So if you'd like to see Alfie Moore and his show, The Naked Stun, go to the old fire station on the 2nd of October. Alfie, thank you very much.
Thank you. Lovely speaking to you, Katie.